اعتبرني.
To try to find a way to leave Mitzrayim. It's becoming very uncomfortable in Mitzrayim. We have to find a way to leave. A way for each one of us to leave Mitzrayim. Since, of course, Yetzias Mitzrayim is something that's happening all the time, especially this time of the year. These are special Shabbos, these parashiyos. Special time to be able to leave, to be able to break away from the constraint of those koiches, those forces that have been holding us back, holding us in. I see, Mom, shall I have old friends here? Good. So the beginning of Yetzias Mitzrayim is the first makkah, the first plague, Makkas Adam, the plague of the blood. So to understand, everything follows the haschala, everything follows the beginning. So it must be that the root of Yetzias Mitzrayim, bechlal and befrat, in general and particular, is Makkas Adam, it's the plague of blood, which none of us, of course, have experienced. We've seen all kinds of funny things in the water here in New York, but we've never seen such a thing. I mean, certain neighborhoods, probably. But this time around here, the water still is not filled with blood. So it says in the Torah, "Vayasu kein Moshe v'Aaron kashetziv Hashem," that Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron HaKohen did according to how Hashem commanded. "Vayorim b'mata v'yach," "Vayorim b'mata v'yach es hamayim asher v'yor," and they struck the water. "La'enei Paro, la'enei avoda," before the eyes of Paro and his servants. "Vayehovchu kol hamayim asher v'yor ladam," and all of the water that was in the river was changed into blood. "And v'hadog asher v'yor meisa," all the fish were dying. "Vayivash hayor," stunk. "V'layochlu mitzrayim lishtay smayim and hamet yor," "V'yihadom v'chalaris mitzrayim," and the Egyptians couldn't drink from the river. There was blood throughout the land of Egypt. "V'yihadom v'chalaris mitzrayim." So here's Chazal. Chazal tell us, "Yisrael u'mitzri, shohi u'shayis n'b'sayif al-echot, hoya mitzri shayis dom, v'hay Yisraeli shayis amayim." We spoke about this before, but just as an aside, and tonight we have to concentrate on this. So it says in the Medrash that when a Yisrael and a Jew and an Egyptian would sit together, they would drink from one container, one pitcher of water. So Chazal say, that the Egyptian from the same pitcher would drink blood, and the Jew would drink water. That's what Chazal say in the Medrash. So it didn't help if the Egyptian would drink together with the Jew, so the Jew would drink from the same container of water, and the Egyptian would drink blood. So we see that there's an emphasis that's being placed on Nes and Teva, that which is miraculous and that which is natural, Amishtamshim Be'erbuvia, are working together. Something which is natural and something which is miraculous are functioning together. That's what's happening here. The water is water. The water is blood. So we see that there's Nes and Teva together. Something miraculous and something natural are working together. And Chazal are revealing to us here that there's a mile, as we'll see the Maharal explains, that there's an advantage, there's something greater that is revealed when you have a miracle working simultaneously with that which is natural. That's a mile that's even greater than something which is completely miraculous. Something which is completely miraculous is not on the same level, is not on as great a level as a situation where you have a nes and teva, something miraculous and something natural that are occurring simultaneously. That's what's being revealed to us here in Chazal. So we wouldn't understand this at all if not for our Rebbe the Maharal. If not for the Maharal. This is a whole Sefer Gevuras Hashem. It's a mitzvah to learn the Sefer from cover to cover this time of the year, especially. The Gevuras Hashem is all about Yetzias Mitzrayim. So the Gevuras Hashem, in the second introduction, if you want to understand what's the meaning of a miracle, what is a nes, you have to learn the Maharal's Hakadamas, especially the second introduction of the Maharal to the Gevuras Hashem. So the Maharal writes over there, on page 16 on Tazayin, I'm going to read to you a few sentences from the Maharal, because the entire discussion is based upon this Maharal. In order to understand the whole subject, we have to know the Maharal well. So the Maharal writes, We see by the plague of Mitzrayim, of Egypt, that what took place was a dover v'havcha, dover v'hipucha. One thing and its opposite. Something and its reverse took place. Binyinechad, simultaneously. Keshahaya ka'aru meleyamayim, he brings the chazal that we just learned, that there was, when there was a dish, or a container that was filled with water, the Jew would drink water and the Egyptian would drink blood. So Maral brings the chazal we just mentioned. Nimtza. This means, Shahayu amayim tiviyim liYisrael, that the Jewish people experienced the taste of water, which was natural, which is the natural property of the water that they drank from the Nile. It was water. So the Jews were drinking, Shahayu amayim tiviyim liYisrael. So the water was natural for the Jewish people. Ubilti tiviyim liMitzrayim. But it was unnatural. There was something miraculous about the fact that the Egyptians were drinking this water that had become blood. And so too we see by the makkah, by the plague of darkness, which we don't have time to really talk about, Bifrat particularly. It's in the Torah that even though there would be darkness for the Egyptian, if a Jew would walk into the room, in that very same place, the Jew would be able to see. For him it was light. For him it was light. Not only was it light where the Jewish people lived in Goshen, but Chazal revealed to us that anywhere a Jew went, he was able to see. Not shot that he was able to see, but he had light. Everything was the same. It was teva. Everything was functioning in a natural way wherever the Jew went. And the Egyptian was immersed in this very, very deep darkness. Shnamaral says, we see that there were two things that were in the air. Two things were there in Mitzrayim. Ha'or v'ha'choshech. Again, something which is natural and something unnatural were intermingling. Kein sofik shel ha'hukum Mitzrayim b'sanfeim. There's no question that the makkah of choshech, the plague of darkness, doesn't just mean that the Egyptians couldn't see. The plague of darkness was not that Hashem gave a clap to the Egyptians that they couldn't see. That's not what the Torah tells us. Vayomesh Choshech was mamish darkness. So it wasn't that they couldn't see. In other words, it wasn't that the Egyptians all had problems with their eyes and the Jews were able to see. That's not the pshat. That's not what it says in the Torah. She's Eina. Raka Choshech hoya ba'ovir l'mitzrayim l'yisrael lo hoya Choshech. What really happened was that there was darkness in the air for the Egyptians and there was light for the Jews. So there were two opposites that were being carried in one koach, in one body. The two opposites are light and dark. Now here, listen to what he says. V'zeh more yoyser al koach v'yecholes hapoel. And this reveals a greater level of strength, a more wondrous miracle. What's so wondrous? What's so amazing about this? It reveals that Hashem only is machadish anes. Hashem only brings about a miracle specifically for the ones who need the miracle. In this case, the Egyptians needed the miracle because they were getting a clap, right? They were being punished, whatever the purpose of the makos were. But they were the ones that needed something miraculous here. So the Egyptians were given a miraculous patch, the darkness and the blood. But as far as the Jews were concerned, Hashem maintained teva. He maintained the natural state of things. This is greater. That the one who needs the miracle has the miracle, and the one who doesn't need the miracle remains in the state of nature. Because in truth, the greatest of miracles have two opposites in one thing. One is natural, and the other is unnatural. That's the Maharal in the second introduction to the Guru Sasha. That's the Maharal. We need a Rebbe to understand the Maharal also. And it's not me. So there was a genius, there was a tzaddik that died a short time ago, Rabbi Yitzchak Hutner, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, who devoted his phenomenal energy, his phenomenal brilliance to understanding Maharal, to learning Maharal, Pshat and Maharal. And much of his writings in Pachad Yitzchak are devoted to the teachings of the Maharal. So Rav Hutner brings the Gemara in Sanhedrin. The Gemara in Sanhedrin points to what seems to be a contradiction between verses, between psukim. One pasuk says, Tayv Hashem lakol. We say Nashri. Tayv Hashem lakol. Hashem is good to everyone. Hashem's kindness is for everyone. Tayv Hashem lakol. The problem is that another pasuk says, Tayv Hashem lakayvav. That Hashem is good, Hashem is kind to those who have hope in Him. To those who seek Him. So the Gemara asks, this seems to be a theory, seems to be a contradiction. One pasuk says, Tayv Hashem lakol, that Hashem is good to everybody. And the other pasuk says, Tayv Hashem lakayvav, that Hashem is good only for the one, specifically for the one who turns to Him, who waits for Him, and has hope in Him. So the Gemara asks, it seems to be a contradiction. So the Gemara answers with a mashal. The Gemara answers with a parable. The Gemara says, mashal adam sheyesh lo pardes. This can be compared to a person who has an orchard. Somebody owns an orchard. When he is watering or irrigating the orchard, he doesn't have a special mechanism to keep the water away from a certain tree that's not his favorite tree. When he's mashke, when he's watering, when he's irrigating the orchard, the water goes. The water goes, and it's mashke, it is feeding and sustaining laroyim v'latoyim, for the plants that are really hopeless and for the ones that are hopeful. The water will equally take care of the good plants and the bad plants. Lefisha ena ela tarech echad. It's only one act. There's only one act here, which is turning on the water. So it's only a tarech echad. There's only one tircha, one required, necessary act to turn on the water. So the water goes to these plants, goes to those plants, it just goes. Uchshu oider. But when the person is actually tilling and caring for the particular plant, caring for the plants, in other words, he's going with the instruments to take care of the plants, to have a terech lokol echot ve'echot, which requires individual attention, right? You have to go over to each tree and to take care of it with the instruments and so on, whatever is necessary. Eina oider elulatayim. Then he only goes to the time. He goes to the plants that have some hope of surviving. The plants that are not good, that are dead, the ones that are not growing, it didn't work out, and he leaves them. And he only goes with his instruments to take care of the plants that are still alive, that still have hope of surviving. That's how the Gemara answers the question. So it comes out from here. Let's understand, this is a very, very important point. Indian tonight is just very, very fundamental, a fundamental understanding of Bechira, free choice, and what it means to be a Jew. So what the Gemara is answering is that there are two ways that Hashem reveals His kindness. There are two ways that Hashem takes care of the world. One way is called Hashka'a, watering. This way of Hashka'a is where Hashem's kindness is extended to all creation. The sun shines on everybody's head. If it's shining, if the sun is shining in New York, it's true that it's only shining maybe for this tzaddik and for that Jew and for so, but behemoth, whoever happens to be in New York will benefit from the warmth of the sunlight, right? So there is a certain way that Hashem is Baruch runs the world, and that way that He runs the world of Tov Hashem Lakol, where His goodness extends to all of creation. This is what Chazal compared to this general irrigation or the watering of the field. That no distinction is made. Tov Hashem Lakol. Everybody gets a free ride. It's good. Everybody receives. Tov Hashem Lakol. That's one way that Hashem runs the world. The second way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world is compared to the farmer with his instruments. And here, with this act of idur, of taking care of the plant, of seeing to the needs of that plant, here we have HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Hashgacha Pratis. Hashem focuses His attention. Whereas the first way of watering is a Hashgacha Klalis, is a general type of providence, a general way that Hashem cares for His world, like watering the field. But there's a second way that we call traditionally, that the Rishonim refer to as Hashgacha Pratis, which is in the marshal of the Gemara and Sanhedrin, like the person who is tending to that particular plant. And there, the kindness of Hashem, the goodness of Hashem, only reaches the one who is worthy of and anticipates the kindness. The one who is worthy of and is waiting for and hoping for the kindness. Just like the tree that is still alive. So when the tree that is still alive but could use a little bit of doctoring, so when the tree sees the farmer walking down, you could almost hear the tree saying, please come over here. I need a little pruning. I need a little touching up. I need some fertilizer. Right? When it comes to watering the orchard, so nobody's screaming and yelling, raising his hand. The water goes. That's Hashgacha Klalis. That's Hashem runs the world. Bechlal, Hashem's goodness, the current of Hashem's love and goodness reaches the whole world. But there is a type of Hashgacha Pratis, of individual attention, where the particular plant, the particular one, who has hope and who needs and is worthy of attention, receives the attention. But if you are not worthy, and if you're not anticipating and waiting and hoping, the farmer goes on to another place. The Baruch Hashem, the master of the world, moves on. That's the Gemara. That's just the Pshat in the Gemara. That's what the Gemara is saying. So let's understand the Gemara. Let's understand Pshat in the Gemara. Chazal revealed to us something we've spoken about before, that in the big Hallel, in the Hallel HaGadol, in the Haidus that we say on Shabbos, when we say, in the Hallel, like Rosh Chodesh and Yontif and Chanukah, we say just four. But the Haidu that we say on Shabbos, in Davening, Haidu Lashem Ki Tov, Ki Lo'ilam Chazdo, there are 26. There are 26 Ki Lo'ilam Chazdos over there. 26. So Chazal say that the 26 times where it says in Tehillim, Ki lo'olam chasdo, that Hashem's kindness is everlasting, that those 26 times correspond, who can guess? That's right, but I knew you were going to say that and that's not the answer. What's it? The Gemara says, right, Menachem's got it. We have a prize for you anyway at the door. Yeah, sure. The Gemara says, Menachem's God, the Gemara says that corresponds to the 26 generations before the Torah was given. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Zanus Ha'ilam B'chazdal. The Torah wasn't given. The world didn't have any way of paying rent. It was a welfare system. For 26 generations, there were tzaddikim. We're not going to get into this. That's gracious talk. We've spoken about these things. There were 26 generations without a Torah. That means 26 generations where it was like general admission. Where Hashem was Zanus Ha'ilam B'chazdai. Where Hashem took care of the whole world with His kindness. So there are 26 kilo Olam Chazdos that correspond to the 26 generations of Hashem's kindness to a world that didn't have a way of earning the kindness. So, if one would look at this superficially, then one might come to the conclusion, the mistaken, horrible conclusion, that it wasn't so bad before the Torah was given. No? It's not so bad. Unemployment, welfare, was it schlecht? As long as you haven't, you're doing all right. What's so bad? There are people are doing better than us. 26 generations, kilo ilam chazdo. It would seem superficially that when you look at things, it would seem that for 26 generations, the master of the world was mamash carrying the whole world. It was chesed, mamash a chesed, complete and total act of kindness, and everybody received. And that when the Torah was given, that Chalila, it seems that Chalila, God forbid, that with the giving of the Torah, Hashem's kindness was diminished, Chalila. That when Hashem gave the Torah, that's the end of the program. The program is finished. That's it. 26 generations, Kilo Elam Chazdai Adkan, no more. So it would seem as if Chalila, there was a hismatus, that there was a diminishing and a lessening of the Chazdei Hashem, of God's kindness, when the Torah was given, which can't be said Chalila. So the whole tachlis of creation is that the Jewish people should receive the Torah, and that HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves us and loves the Torah, and that obviously it must be that kindness is revealed in a greater way with the giving of the Torah, not that it's diminished Chalila. But it would seem like this. So Rav Huttner explains that there are two types of chesed. And it's very basic, and everybody understands. It's just a question of putting things into perspective. There's nothing that you haven't heard. It's just putting things into perspective and seeing how it fits into the story of Mitzrayim and helps us get out. There are two types of chesed. The first is called chesed vitur. Chesed shel vitur, levater. That means, I guess, a good way to translate it would be a charitable type of a kindness. Someone makes a concession. Levater means to give up something for nothing. Chesed shel vitur means charitable kindness. Chesed vitur. The second kind of chesed, the second type of kindness, is called chesed shel mishpat. Justifiable, earned kindness. Chesed shel mishpat. It follows certain rules and regulations. There's chesed, but it follows certain rules. Now, everybody knows that in the laws of tzedakah, in the laws of charity, in Hilchas Tzedakah, everybody knows the Rambam, some Chazal, it's the Pesach Din of the Shulchan Aruch, it's in Yerodei, it's the Din, it's the Halacha. Then in tzedakah, there are two ways that we can help Shimon out. There are two ways that Reuven can help Shimon. There are two ways for Reuven to help Shimon. One way is for Reuven to pay Shimon's bills. There was a friend of mine that got a job in yeshiva. We were both starting out. He got a job in yeshiva, and he didn't get a salary. There was a fellow from the administration, if you want to call it that, that would go with him. He would ask him, what do you need? He says, I need a haircut. So he would take him to the barbershop. He would give the $5, whatever it cost then for a haircut, to tell him, what do you need? So I have to buy some food for Shabbos. What does it come to the practice of the cheshman? So he has to go first shopping, and he has to come back with a paper, and the paper says it costs $75, and then the yeshiva would give him $75. That's wonderful, no? It's a fantastic thing. I mean, if he would go ask for a round trip, for two to Hawaii, it wouldn't have worked out. But for his daily needs, so, in tzedakah, that's not tzedakah, it was a salary, but in tzedakah, when we look at things again in a superficial way, we would say that if Reuven pays for Shimon's daily needs, and expects nothing in return. It's a gewaltige thing. It's beautiful. But everybody knows that the greatest chesed, the highest level of chesed, higher than even giving, even if Shimon wouldn't know that it's Reuven, even if Shimon wouldn't know that it's Reuven, even if Reuven would give matan b'seiser, and Shimon would find an envelope at his door every day with the amount that he needs for all his expenses, that still doesn't equal the highest madrega of tzedakah, which is what? To provide the person with a means of earning his own livelihood, with a job. To help the person get a job, that he should be able to earn his own livelihood, to pay his own bills. So, when that terrible day took place, when Reuven tells Shimon, listen, Shimon, you know, I love you and I've tried to help you out and I have wonderful news to tell you. You could turn off the TV set. You can get, you know, put on a tie, put on a suit and go back into the world because I got you a job. And guess what? It pays the same money that I was giving you. No. It pays less than I was giving you. And it's wonderful news, not just for me, just for you. It's also good news for you. So Shim would say, what are you talking about? Until now, you were zonoisi b'chazdecha. You were sustaining and taking care of me with your loving kindness. And now you've thrown me out into the world. And yet al pidin, everybody knows that according to halacha, the second level, the level of giving somebody a chance to earn his livelihood is the highest madrega of tzedakah. So the 26 generations, the 26 generations before Kabbalah Satorah, the 26 generations before the Torah was given, are 26 generations where the Baruch Shalom gave charity to the world. Hashem was taking care of the world, handing out. From the time that the Torah was given, somehow the world, or the Jewish people, we'll talk how that reflects upon the particular role of the non-Jews in the world. That's not for tonight. But certainly from the time that the Torah was given, and the non-Jews have their seven mitzvahs after the Torah was given as well. That after the Torah was given, it's no longer a charitable type of chesed shel vitur, of charitable kindness, but now there's a transformation that would superficially appear to be a lessening of God's kindness, where now he gives us a whole system of Torah and mitzvahs, and he says, if you be good boys and girls, there's no longer 26 kilo lam chazdais, forget it. The system is done, and now there's a new madrega, a deepening of God's kindness. But we have to understand how. That Hashem's kindness wasn't diminished, it was deepened. It was intensified, that Kadosh Baruch Hu gave the Jewish people a way of paying their own rent. How? By davening, by learning, by observing mitzvahs, v'chulu, v'chulu, all that's involved in being a Jew. So we understand that when the Pasuk says, Tov Hashem, Tov Hashem lakol, that Hashem, as the Gemara pointed out, this contradiction. So Tov Hashem lakol, that Hashem is kind to all. And everybody receives from Hashem's kindness, right? Tov Hashem lakol. In other words, Hashem is completely undiscriminating his kindness. He doesn't discriminate at all. That is a hanhaga. That is the way that Hashem runs the world, the hashgacha klalis, in a general way, which is a hanhaga of chesed shel vitur, of charitable kindness. Whereas the hanhaga of the Torah, the way that Hashem runs the world with the Torah, is called hanhaga shel mishpat, or chesed shel mishpat. A kindness, but a kindness that has to be justified and that has to be earned. So let's understand how this is the base. As I spent some time on this, it should be clear. Now let's understand. In the case of chesed vitur, of charitable kindness, in the case of charitable kindness, the spotlight is really only on who? The giver or the receiver. In the case of charitable kindness, it's on the giver, on the nisein. On the notain, obviously, right? Because really, the fact that this person is receiving that charity is, it's a tofel, it's secondary to the fact that we have this superstar, this charitable superstar, who is taking care of Shimon. Reuven is an amazing person. So the spotlight is on Reuven, the one who is giving. It happens that Shimon is lucky, he's the winner today. So if not Shimon, And we're not making fun, Chalil, of Reuven. Reuven's a fantastic person. But if it wouldn't be Shimon, so then somebody else would be Mekabel. Reuven, Baruch Hashem, has what to give. And the essential characteristic in that world of charitable kindness is the act of giving. Whether Shimon receives it, or Levi, or Yisachar, or Chula, Yehuda, or Zvul, Yisachar, doesn't, the ikar is the essential point, the main question is, who is the no-saying, who is giving? Who is the no-saying? And that's what's most impressive. In the world of Chesed Shel Vitor, the Mekablim, those who receive, have no real standing, have no real place. That is like irrigation or the moshel of the Gemara of watering the field, where the one who is being focused on now, the one who the spotlight is on, this wonderful farmer who has enough water to irrigate his entire field, his entire orchard. And it's a tarech echad. It's one act. And with that one act of the nesina, of giving, so the entire orchard is enlivened or is given a chance to live. But the focus is on the notain, on the one who is watering, on the one who is giving, on the one who is mashke the field. And in that way, the world is filled with Hashem's kindness. In our times, this, I'm saying this in parentheses, and this really requires a separate discussion, because everything that happens in history is a reflection of the Malchus Derekia, of the Malchus that's in Shemaim, of Hashem's Malchus. And if there was such a thing as a socialist welfare state, which eroded into communism, if there was such a thing historically and politically as the one who is going to take care, the government is going to take care of all your needs. You just have to be good comrades and be good members of the proletariat and good workers. But Mother Russia is going to be mashke, all the adarim is going to irrigate all of Russia. Everybody is going to receive the same. It's one act of giving, and the focus is on the nisayin, on on the rishoyim, on those wicked people who try to put into practice the distorted views of Marx, Engels, and then Lenin, and so on. And that's what happened. So, but the idea over here is that the government is going to provide, and everybody gets the same. Everybody gets the same. Now, is you, the Mekabel, the one who receives, and this, of course, is ironic, because the whole thing of communism was coming to the defense of the worker, that the worker never was so alienated and lost, and they're right. That's true. That's what was happening with the Industrial Revolution. Forgive me for this aside. What was happening with the Industrial Revolution is that individual people were being lost on the assembly line. So along came Marx and Engels, and they said, we're going to restore the honor of the individual worker, and you know what we're going to do? We're going to make him completely, totally dependent upon the government, and he's going to have the same salary and the same apartment. If you look at China, I mean, they all look to me the same anyway. But the clothing, they should be well. But the clothing, you ever see what goes on in China? Maybe now it's different. The last few years, there's been, this modernization. Every single one wore the same outfit. Every single one. That's like the dry cleaner Meir Sharm. You ever go there? The dry cleaner Meir. It's the most confusing thing in the world. Every single one has the same outfit. You have to identify. This one has soup over here. The other one has a cholent over there. But it's the same thing. Lamais is the same thing. So communism, with its promise to the individual, of course, never lived up to that. And communism was a horrible distortion of chesed that was supposed to be some sort of a charitable chesed, which has different forms and shapes than socialism and so on and so forth, which I'm not going to get any more into this stuff. That's what communism descended into. Because the Mekabel, the one who was receiving, lost his stature, lost himself completely. It was a nobody. It's the noisei. Therefore, in Russia, the notain, the one who is giving, has the right to interfere with your life, has the right to tell you how to live, what to read, what to believe in, and so on. And everybody's the same. In chesed shel mishpat, in the second type of chesed, in the chesed of mishpat, where it is earned, justifiable kindness, in chesed shel mishpat, the ikker, the main one, is the one who is receiving. Is the one who lifts himself up, right? Rolls up his sleeves and goes to work. And goes to work. And deserves what he earns. And works hard for every single penny. In the story of the orchard, the farmer goes over to that tree, or that plant, that's making hishtadlus, that wants to live, that seems like it's working to survive, right? And he goes over to that plant and he says, I respect you, I admire you, and therefore I'm going to tend and help you get back on your feet. In the story of the orchard. Now, in this way that Hashem runs the world, the chesed of Hashem, the kindness of Hashem, reaches only those who are zoicha, reaches only those who are worthy. And that's what the Gemara explains, the pasuk of Toiv Hashem l'koivav, that Hashem is good only for those who daven to Him, who have hope in Him, who seek Him. That was supposed to be capitalism. Again, I don't want to get into the details of this now, but each one on his or her own should try to understand things historically as these two hanhagas and how they apply with human beings as well. That historically, capitalism was supposed to be that if you work harder, you get what you work for, and vizeh. And that also has, unfortunately, been distorted. That also has been distorted. And there's the problem of people who are unable to work. People who don't want to work, v'chul v'chul. But that was supposed to be capitalism, where each person is mekave, is hoping for a livelihood by putting in his effort. So this is what happened. The Torah was given. Now we start moving fast. This is what happened. The Torah was given. What happened? The Torah was given was Hashem, with the giving of the Torah, listen carefully, created the partsuf, the face of a makabel. Hashem, with the giving of the Torah, lifted up the heads of the Jewish people and gave us each a face. Instead of being faceless masses, plants in a huge orchard that are just irrigated by one act, Hashem Yisbarach gave, with the Torah, every single Jew, and the world also, again, that's a separate subject. They gave everyone a face to be able to look up, to be able to stand up. And this is what the Maharal is telling us. Now let's understand the Maharal, that the Maharal told us that when Hashem does a miracle together with something which is natural, that reveals the most wondrous thing. That Hashem gives the miracle to the one who needs the miracle. And Hashem maintains the natural state and order of things for the one who does not need the miracle. And this is greater than a nace, than just a nace. It would just be a nace. It wouldn't be as great as when you have a nace and teva, something miraculous, unnatural, supernatural, and something natural taking place simultaneously. Why is that? So it says in the Mishnah in Sanhedrin, Lefichach nivra Adam yechidi, that why did Hashem create Adam by himself? Why didn't Hashem create mankind? Why didn't HaKadosh Baruch Hu pop in to reality, a civilization? So the Mishnah says, Loma nivra Adam yechidi, why was man created by himself? So Chazal tell us, so that a person should be able to say, a person must say, Chayev Adam Loimer, that a person must say, Bishvili Nivra Ha'olam. What does that mean? That the world, the entire universe, is created mamish for me. So Hashem created a whole universe. Eretz Maloa, Tevel V'Yoshveva, all of creation, for an Adam, for a person, so that even in this world, with billions of people and so on, that somehow each person can say, Bishvili nivra ha'olam, that the world was created for me alone. How does that work? When there are many, many people who are receiving the chesed, for example, let's come back to the example of the sunshine. On a sunny day, when you're walking in the street, and there are thousands and thousands of people that are there, your feeling is, well, the sun isn't shining for me. I'm worthless. I'm a nobody. The sun is shining for everyone. And probably there's some very righteous and great person who is particularly worthy, and that's why the sun is shining in this place. But it certainly isn't shining just for me. It's ridiculous. It's just that it's shining for the world. It's shining for New York. It's shining upon New York. And Mimela, just like the irrigation of the field, Mimela. How do you say Mimela? Mimela. There's no word in Mimela. Incidentally, it's also shining upon me. But really, it's a hashgacha klal, is the sun bechlal to shine. So Adam is created by himself. Adam is created by himself in order to reveal that each separate individual person is worthy of mamish, the whole universe, not just the sun. But each separate individual person is worthy of the whole universe being created. With this, the sun and the moon and all the plants. The whole business is b'shvili nivra, chayiv adam loyme b'shvili nivra ha'olam. In other words, dafkit, when you feel that you are not anything, when you feel that you're completely unworthy and you've lost your individuality and your a sense of self, so along comes the Mishnah and says, Adam is created by himself to tell you, Chayiv Adam Loimer, that you must always remember that what? Bishvili Nivra Ha'olam, that the world was created for you. So that comes out, that Dafke emerges in a state, in a situation where Nes and Teva were a miracle and something miraculous and something natural is taking place simultaneously. You see, you can't be an Adam Harishon anymore. Chav already spoiled that. There's no such thing as a lonely, separate, single person since that time. So instead, we're living now in a crazy world with billions of people. And in that world, you see, for Adam Harishon, it was fairly easy to say. It was the logical thing to say. That Hashem showed him the whole world was created, and he says, listen, here it is. And you're the Adam. You're it. So for Adam Harishon to have reached that conclusion, it made sense. It was obvious to him. But how is a person living among billions of people, a person who has no self-confidence, a person who sees himself as somebody unworthy, how is he to continue to see himself in that state of Adam Harishon as if he's alone and the whole world was created just to shine upon him? So here's where the miracle happens together with something which is natural. Because when there's just a big miracle, it's just a miracle. Like everybody just runs through the Yam Suf together. Everybody runs through the Red Sea together. So there's this feeling like it's not splitting for me. That's why there's my opinion that every single person has his own lane. That's also something to talk about. But the Pasha Pshat is that the Yam Suf, that the ocean split, and everybody was running through, and people were thinking, boy, I hope he's not looking at me. Because if Hashem's looking at me, he's going to pluck me right out of here. I'll throw me back, you know, with pyro. So there's this feeling like all you want to do is you want to put your talus over your face. You want to cover yourself up with your coat and just go. Get to the other side before they notice you. No, you just want to get to the other side. Because there's a feeling of hashgacha klalus. It's a hashgacha klalus. It's a miracle, but it's entirely miraculous. So the sun is not shining for me. The sun's shining for Pliny Almighty and for this and for that and for Klal Yisrael, for the Jewish people who Hashem loves as a whole. But Hashem doesn't love me by myself, by my lonesome. Hashem doesn't love me. But when you have a miracle taking place together with something which is natural, when you're standing there in your backyard someplace in Mitzrayim, and the Egyptian is thirsting for a drink of water, and you have a wonderful supply of water, and the Egyptian comes over and puts a straw into the cup, and you put a straw into the cup, and he drinks blood, and you drink water, you can't make a mistake anymore. The sun is shining just on you. Right? That's the morale is telling us. Where that when Neis and Teva are mishtamshim be'ebuvia, that the Neis, that the Mayim is Neisei Shnei HaPochim, Shnei, the two opposites are being carried in one goof, in one body. In one body. Two opposites are being carried. So then you have, for the first time in your life, this feeling like, I can't believe it. It's this super duper private, amazing miracle. Just for me. Just for me. Hashem's looking at me. Your whole life you walk around, someone tells you, listen, Rabbi Yid, Bishvilcha Nivra Ha'olam, Yeshua. Bishvilcha Nivra Ha'olam. The world was created for you. The world was created for me. You don't believe it. But when the Nais, when the miracle is happening together with Teva, with that which is natural, and you're drinking water, you can't make that mistake. So when a miracle happens together with that which is natural, that whole mimeledikait, that coincidental, incidental, it happens to be kind of feeling, is eradicated. When nais and teva, when a miracle and the natural order are happening together, that's taken away. That's removed. The mimela. That mimela, that it happens to be, that I happen to be involved. That's removed. We're no longer dealing with chesed shel vitur, with a kindness that is charitable, with a kindness that is just giving, that is stam for everybody, and it's a welfare system. But you, Rabbi Yid, lift up your head. You are worthy. Kaveh el Hashem, Taiva Hashem lekoivav. I love you. You daven to me. You're a Yid. You're a Jew. You serve me. You're a makabel haTorah. And because of that, I'm going to show you that the world exists mamish for you. And it's not with the embarrassing feeling of being part of a general charitable kind of hashkah, of an irrigation system. But it's befrat, I'm tending to you. HaKadosh Baruch Hu stops by you with his tools, with his instruments in his orchard, in his paradise of Yidden of Jews who are pshat, remesh, drus, and sod. Hashem Yisbarach stops by you and he tends to your needs in particular. So you suddenly are transported back into the world of other Marishan, and you find yourself mamish like the only person in the world, that the whole nature, the whole order of the universe is being tampered with by HaKadosh Baruch Hu for you, bifrat for you, which you wouldn't have otherwise felt, you wouldn't have otherwise noticed. So what happened here with the Makkah, with the plague of blood, was that every single person returned to that world of Adam Arishan, of that world of Bishvili Nivra Ha'olam, that the world was created and exists for me. And that was absolutely necessary as the beginning of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Now let's finish, let's understand. Yetzias Mitzrayim, leaving Egypt means the beginning of a new way that Hashem runs the world, which of course would be formalized with the giving of Torah. But Yetzias Mitzrayim means the end of the way of the 26 generations of vitur of charity, or of the chesed that is just charitable chesed, the end of the welfare state, and the beginning of that Tzuras HaAdam, of the image of man, who could stand on his own two feet with his head lifted up high and said, Bishvili Nevailam, that I'm worthy of a whole universe. Yetzias Mitzrayim is the creation of a Makabel. It's the creation of a Jew who can receive, of who's worthy of receiving, of who's away from Mitzrayim, who's torn himself away from the lowliness and the ugliness and the debasement of Mitzrayim. So since the Makas Hadam, since the first plague is the beginning of redemption, the wheels are now turning towards Kabbalah Satira, towards the receiving of the Torah. Therefore, the Makas have to begin in such a way, the Makas have to begin, the plagues must begin in this manner of Neis V'teva Misham Shembir Buvia, where there's something miraculous and something natural that are taking place simultaneously in order to reveal, Reb Yud, get ready. You're now moving into that, we're taking you out of that state of charity, out of the welfare state. We're finished with this business of communism. And from now on, we're moving you towards the world of Chesed Shel Mishpat, which initially you're going to resent. And we didn't want the Torah, you know, completely. And it had to be, to a certain degree, it had to be, we had to be coerced to receive the Torah. And Ad Hayoy, to this day, even though Hada Kiblu Abim Echashverish, we still need a little bit. You have to be a good teacher, a good rebbe, a good parent to talk your students and kids into it. It doesn't happen on its own. You see from here, that feeling Hashem's eyes upon you, is the beginning of redemption. You understand? Feeling that Hashem is looking at you, I don't just mean redemption from Egypt. And that's why I've said at the very beginning, to get out of any Mitzrayim, which is what we talk about the whole time in Sefer Shemayis, to be able to remove the shackles and chains of smallness, to come to that Madrega where you're beginning to be redeemed, to be able to lift your head up, it's this sense that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is looking at you. Not that he's looking at everybody. When Hashem is looking at a million people, you can also do an Aveira. The same way, you can go through the Yamsuf without anybody noticing. So, isn't it true that we think, and how many times people have told me, like, you know, I'll have somebody who will tell me, you know, some horrible Aveira, Lo Aleinu. And then the person will say, but Rebbe, my friends down the block do much worse than that. That's a limud zchus, and I don't want, it's a mitzvah to try to find ways to make Jews look good. But ba'aymik in depth, doesn't work. The reason that the person would say such a thing is because he feels that the whole world is Stam general admission. So why can you do an Aveira? Why are you doing an Aveira? He's not looking so much at my mitzvah, so why is he looking at my Aveiras? I mean, you have people that they'll stand in shul and they talk during davening. One for him, one for you, one for you, one for him. People talk during davening. It's a wondrous thing, if you think about it. Because the person feels, listen. So then you ask him, Rabbi, you didn't daven today for a livelihood. You were talking, you didn't think of one word that you said. You said a little bit in Ashrei, Ashmanes, Kriyashma. But how are you going to get your check this week? You didn't daven at all. You're talking in shul. You didn't daven. So he wouldn't say these words, but we know what the truth is. Well, he got his check. He's worse than me. He talks even after the brachas of Kriyashma. I talk until Kriyashma. So, and he got his check. So you feel, isn't there this feeling that Mimela, I'm going to get my check. Mimela, I'm going to get my check also. Why not? So when it comes to davening, since you don't feel that Hashem is looking at you like the Rebbe Reb Nachman says, that you don't feel that Hashem is mamish hanging upon every word. And you don't feel that it makes a difference that the keeper of the orchard, of the garden, has stopped by your little spot in the universe. You don't feel that the keeper of the orchard has stopped by your little place and is leaning over like Liz the year and saying, no. You don't feel that. You just think that he's standing there with turning on the water. Tayyib Hashem lakol. V'rachmav lakol ma'az. So it's because of that we don't feel that our mitzvahs are meaningful. Mimela the averus are also meaningless. The same person who can daven has a hard time when it comes to Yirat Shamayim. In other words, why would he hesitate doing an averus? The same who, I'm part of the system. No. Mitzvahs averus. So redemption begins with the feeling that the Rebbeinu Shlom is looking at you. Mamish. You. Bishvilcha nivra ha'olam. You. And the sun is shining for you. And the check's being written for you. Or not written, God forbid, because of you. That's the beginning of getting out of smallness. That's the beginning of leaving the way of chesed shel vitur and entering into the state of a makabel, of being a person who's like an odom harishon who could hold up his head and say, b'shvili nivayl. And your mitzvahs are meaningful, and chalila, when you don't do mitzvahs, that's also meaningful. I was once, when I was around 15, 16 years old, I was very unnerved because I was in a place for Yom Kippur. There was a big tzaddik, a big rabbi, and he was crying and howling the whole time. And I wasn't upset about anything. And I started to think to myself, someplace like, you know, around 4 or 5 o'clock in the afternoon, I started to think, now what could he have done that so, I mean, he's a big tzaddik, and he seems so upset. I'm feeling great. I'm fasting all right. And everything's fine. And you know, you begin to think about it, it's a little bit unnerving. Because the most comforting thing is the most comforting thought is the thought that it's gonna work out. Everybody. But to think that the Rebbeinu Shlomo is looking at you, so you see that Jew, that Yid, that Jew, he senses the eyes of Hashem. That's the beginning of Gula. That's the beginning of redemption. And now we have a teaching from the Ishbitzer. A very, very deep, amazing teaching from the Ishbitzer. Because everybody knows that the completion of Yetzias Mitzrayim, the end, the final cutting of the cord, took place when, by Kriyas Yam Suf, on the seventh day in Shavuot Shel Pesach, which is the day of Gula, of redemption. Shavuot Shel Pesach, Shvishal Pesach we became. Shvishal Pesach. So you know, everybody knows, that even though it's really not so easy to find in the Chazal where this is exactly the exact Lashon, but everybody knows, the Chazal have revealed to us that when the Egyptians were drowning, the angels had a taina, the angels had a complaint. You remember what the complaint was? Halalu Avdei Azar, Halalu Avdei Azar. Why should they be drowned and they should live? The Jews also worshipped idols. They're also idol worshippers, so why should they be? Why should they be treated differently? That's the taina. That was the complaint of each, of the world. The malachim means it's the complaint of the universe. Of that side of the universe that stands opposed to Kedushas Yisrael, to the Jewish people. So the world has a taina. The world has a complaint. What are you doing, Hashem? Why are you stopping by that plant and tending to that plant when the plant is the same as the rest of us? So if it's a general time when we're all getting beaten, we're all being beaten and smashed, so they should also be smashed. They're also idol worshipers. In other words, everything's the same. The taina of the world is the complaint of the world is that even after Torah was given, the Jewish people should be treated the same as everyone. That's really, they want worse. But they'll say that the Jewish people should be treated as everyone. In other words, they insist that there was no such thing to end the general system of state of welfare with the 26 generations of Kilo Ilam Chazdai. And that somehow with the giving of the Torah, a new thing came into the world called the Jew. Who works and who suffers, who sweats, and occasionally gets patched, because he's a makabel, because he's someone who is working and receiving and has his head up, and b'shvili nevayilam. So the world can't stand that. So the Egyptians, the world complained. Halal, in other words, when it came time to complete the redemption, so there was a complaint that resounded from the very depths of creation that said, halal lo'ayv devad azar, halal lo'ayv devad azar. It's all the same. Man nishtanu elu me'elu. That's what Chazal say. What? Man nishtanu elu me'elu. How are they different from us? So it says Nehemiah Shiloach, listen to this. Whenever you hear a word from Nishbitsa, you gotta lean close. From Nishbitsa, you have to lean close. It's Nehemiah Shiloach and Pashas B'Shalach. It says by Kriyas Yamsuf. when he came to that place, it says, Nechechosach anu al hayom. It says, you shall encamp opposite it by the sea. Nechechotach anu al hayam. You shall encamp opposite by the sea. It's hard to understand exactly what that means. Look at the Mefarshim. Opposite what? If you look at the Mefarshim, where they were exactly. Nechechosach anu al hayam. You should encamp opposite it. Listen to this sentence in Nishbisa. Hainu, this means, Kenegdai, ukedoim elohem, bekaychaisom yegam lochem kol hanois v'toivir shanim salim mitzrayim. Nishbisa says, then in this world, you'll look at a Jew, and he's also enjoying the world. He eats, he drinks, he's enjoying the world. He's part of the world. Opposite means parallel. Opposite. Facing. One Zelumaze. You look at the Egyptians, they live a certain way. They have the world, and they enjoy the world. And then you look at the Jewish people, you look at the Jewish person, and he's also part of that program. So he says, Hashem says, I'm not telling you you're not supposed to be part of the world. You're going to have corresponding lives. You're going to live in this world in a way that corresponds, that is parallel to, that runs in a parallel line to the way of the rest of the world. And nevertheless, you are redeemed from them. Listen. And they're going to fall before you. They're going to be destroyed. In other words, it wasn't just the Egyptians or the world that had a complaint. We ourselves felt. We live the same way as them. Why should anything happen for us? Special. So Hashem says, Enchanami, it's true, you live the same way. It's true, you look the same. Afal Pichain, you're going to be redeemed. And Afal Pichain, they're going to be destroyed. He called Elah HaKoyches, Asher Ben Yisrael, because even though the Jewish people eat and drink and they sleep and so on, and they live in this world and have children, even though when you look at the actions of the Jewish people, they are opposite, in other words, they correspond, or they run parallel to the actions of everybody else in the world. But the Shmitzah says, but truthfully, Hashem knows, Hashem who looks knows, that the actions of the Jewish people of eating and drinking and sleeping, all those things are filled, a mamish filled with holiness. It's the opposite. It's parallel and opposite. Two parallel lines, the Jewish people, the rest of the world, but we're really opposites. Opposites, mamish opposites. Kigam kan hayakitrit. Manishtanu elu meilu. Because this is the deeper meaning of the kitshrug, this is the deeper meaning of the complaint, of the accusation of ma'anishtanu elu me'elu, how are they different, how are the Jews different from them? They also eat, they also drink, they also sleep, they also do this and do that. And we were worried about ourselves, because we didn't have that feeling yet, we weren't complete in that, in our stature, as what? As a ben odom, as an odom arishin, who could say, b'shvili nevi olam. And Hashem says, looks the same, smells the same, tastes the same, everything's the same, but every single thing of a Jewish person is mole kedusha v'tahara, is filled with holiness, is saturated with kedusha Hashem. Ach Hashem Yisbarach meid aleihem. Hashem testifies on the part of each Jew. She'ein b'leiv Yisrael rak ahavas Hashem Yisbarach. That in the depths of the heart of a Jew, there is only the love of God. And all that he does, beneath all the crazy, superficial things in which he seems like everybody else in the world. But be'emes, we stand across the world and opposite the world and we're opposed to the world. And only superficially we seem like the rest of the world. But when you enter into the depths of the heart of a Jew, Hashem is made. Hashem testifies on behalf of each and every Jew, She'ein b'leiv Yisrael rak ahavas Hashem Yisbarach, that in the heart of each Jew there's only the love of God. Sometimes, unfortunately, in history, a Jew has had to be brought to making that choice between God and falsehood. And has had to make the choice to die. And that's a birur, that's a clarification and a proof, which only the Jewish people can claim historically to such a degree that we feel be'emes and truth, we know that God's looking at us. Hashem, you love us and you've chosen not just us, but me. Me. And when Hashem gave the Torah, he said, Anoichi Hashem Elokecha, I am Hashem your God, not Elokeichem, the tzaddikim say, not everybody's God. Anoichi Hashem Elokecha, and every single little Jew heard the word Elokecha, and he looked like next to him. And Hashem said, I mean you, dummy. Elokecha, I'm your God. Mifrat, your God. Bishvilcha Nivayla. All of this is for you. And you have to work for it. You have to work for it. And to be a Jew means you have to work and you have to suffer for it. Which we spoke about last time. Last week. Then in order to have a tzura, you remember those that were here, it was bad weather. In order to reach that level of tzura, to be a spiritual koyach in the world, to know who you are, the tzura has to go through tzaros. To become a tzura, Rabbi Nachman says, you have to go through tzaros. Hashem arabu tzar rabim kam alai. Like Rabbi Nachman taught, Hashem arabu tzar, I have so many tzaros, and because of that rabim kam alai, therefore I can carry the whole world upon my shoulders. Because I have so many tzaros. So my tzaros is an indication that bishvili nevayla. And I can carry the whole world. And that's the answer to the world. The answer is nishtanu elu me'elu. Hashem testifies that they are different, that the Jewish people, each Jewish person is different. Nishtanu elu me'elu. And that's what it says in the parasha. I'm finishing. I'm sorry, it's late. That's early compared to tomorrow. It's just late compared to today. It says in the parasha, the very beginning, Hashem said, I have also heard the outcry of the Jewish people who the Egyptians are ma'avidim ha'isam, are working them. Hashem said, I remember my covenant. So the tzaddikim explain, if you look in the Degel Machne Ephraim, the Oiv Yisrael, what does it mean ma'avidim ha'isam, that the Egyptians are making them work? Should say Hashem, that the Jewish people are ovdim osam, that the Jewish people are working. But this is Hashem, it's right, ma'avidim osam, it's this continuous ma'avidim. So there's a story from the Bedichah, from Kedushas Levi. I'm not going to tell the whole story, it's too late. I'm just going to tell the point of the story from Kedushas Levi. And everybody wishes that for the story you don't have time. For the story, for the Torah, you can cut down the Torah, don't talk so much, and tell the whole story. That's how it goes. Kedushas Levi once said, whenever he did a mitzvah, there was always something with him. He did an aveira, there was something with him. It's a whole story. He said that the Yetzirah came and told him, the Satan, the evil one, told him, you know when you davened Shemoneh Esrei for 2 hours, Imcha Hayisi, I was with you. I was with you then too. You know, I was with you. It looks good, you know, everybody sees the Rebbe davens for 2 hours of Shemoneh Esrei. Imcha Hayisi. You know when you were learning, you felt you learned up the whole Masechta, fantastic, you learned the whole Gemara, you knew the whole Masechta, you knew the whole Shas. So the Yetzirah, the evil one, says, Imcha Hayisi then too. I was with you then also. And the Bedichah has shown his whole life. Bedichah has shown his whole life all the good things. Like in the background, there's like the Satan. He never saw it when he was there, but then he sees like, oh, somewhere, everywhere, there's always this, you know, the Satan. Imcha Hayisi. You know what that means? It's not just a question of working for Egypt. If you look in the Nesivos Shalom, he explains this. It's not just a question of working for Egypt. When it says in the parasha that Mitzrayim are ma'avidim my son, it means that you feel that in your life, you just can't experience any delight in serving Hashem. That any time you do a mitzvah, you feel that the Yetzer Hara is there telling you, you're not this, you're not that, and then it gets you to think about certain things that are wrong. Anytime you just want to daven a little bit, you know, you want to have a little bit of mesikus. You want to taste a little bit of the sweetness of being an Eved Hashem. And the Yetzer Hara doesn't let you. Mitzrayim is mavida my son. It goes on and on. Mavida my son. That's what it means. Ilohaitzi HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Like we say in Haggadah, if Hashem hadn't taken us out of Mitzrayim, Tan'anu, v'neinu, v'nei v'neinu, ha'yinu meshubadim the power of Mitzrayim, we would still be meshubad the power of Mitzrayim. To be meshubad means, I just can't get out of that. I can't get out of that Yetzer Hara. I can't get away from the Yetzer Hara. Imcha ata. It's always with me, the Yetzer Hara. Always with me. So Friday night we daven, we say, Karval Navshi Geola. Each person says, Sof Kasov comes to Shabbos. Karval Navshi Geola. Hashem, it's Shabbos. Let me be different than Shabbos. Hashem, it's Shabbos. Let me feel redemption on Shabbos. Karval Navshi Geola. Friday night in the Hirotzen by the table. So Friday night, yes, the Rebbeinu Shalom, Shetarachemeni oid begalusi legaaleni, laoira libi lahavasecha. Hashem in my galus, Shetigaaleni oid begalusi. In my galus, give me a little bit of geula. Laoira libi lahavasecha, and awaken my heart to love you. Because every single time any one of us tries to love Hashem, any one of us tries to do a mitzvah purely, you know, then you feel that Mitzrayim Mavida, my son, that doesn't let up. You feel all of a sudden the Yetzer Hara is there to tell you, you're not an Eved Hashem. You never were, you never will be. And you did this Aver and did that Aver and you want to do Averis. So you never ever can feel that you're mamish an Eved Hashem. And each day we daven to Hashem v'koyfes yisrenu l'shtabed loch. Help our Yetzer Hara to help us that our Yetzer should be meshubit to you. In other words, to feel that I'm completely on your team. That I'm completely, that I'm on your side with an occasional mishap. But we don't feel that way. We feel, God forbid, that we're on the other side, and occasionally we dive, and occasionally we do a mitzvah. So Chazal have taught us that b'schus the emuna, that in the merit of our faith in Hashem, Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim. That's the pasha pshat. That's the simple pshat. Chazal said in the merit of our emunah, we were taken out from Mitzrayim. It means in the merit of our believing in God. But on a deeper level, a tzaddik says in Sikas HaTzaddik, on a deeper level, with each individual person, in your own gullus, in your own exile, in your own personal exile, with each individual person, the way that you can be redeemed is with belief, with faith. But faith, doesn't mean to believe in Hashem. Just believing in Hashem is not going to bring you redemption. There are people who believe in Hashem doing avers all the time. Just believing in Hashem, like it says in the Gemara, like the guy who's going to steal and he calls out, Rabbi Shalom, help me that I shouldn't get caught. Ganva pumachtarta. That a ganav, while he's crawling into a place to steal the singer by Yishol, I shouldn't get caught. So Tanya talks about it. It was the art side of the Tanya today. This past day. The Tanya talks about it. And the Tanya says, what kind of a moichin is that? What kind of an awareness is that? That a person is doing an avay, he's asking the Baruch Shalom, help me that I shouldn't get caught. So Baruch Shalom, why should I help you? I'm against what you're doing. It's a moichin the kittens. Just believing in Hashem doesn't get you out of averus. With the schus of emunah, in the schus of faith, we were able to leave Mitzrayim. In the schus of believing in yourself, you're able to leave Egypt. That's the pshat. That's the em is the pshat. Of course, to believe in Hashem. But that doesn't take you out of Egypt. You could be the smallest person in the world. I was someplace. I was away for a few days, and they're among beautiful Yidden, wonderful people. And it happens that there were a couple of Jews that the whole time by davening, And I couldn't go away because it would, you know, I didn't insult them. I'm a visitor. I'm going to tell them what to do. And I couldn't dance someplace else because my father was there. I mean, you know, it was a whole thing. So my father makes himself like a rack. He doesn't, you know, he doesn't hear. That's my father. But me, I was going crazy. It wasn't just that they're talking. The whole time they're talking about that I heard a shmua that if you drive to this place, they give you 6 free bagels. If you get a dozen, they give you another 6 bagels. So you get, the guy's going to drive 45 minutes to save a lousy quarter, or whatever it is, a dollar. You know, they give you 6 free bagels, and the other one says, you know, what are you talking about? The bagels are better. 2 blocks from here, the bagels are better. It's true, it's another 15 cents a bagel, but it's day and night, in cheshbonos. Like this, you know. Karval Navshi Gaola. To be able to lift yourself up out of smallness, to think big things, to have big thoughts and big feelings and big hopes and big dreams. To be a person like that, you have to believe in yourself. It's not enough to believe in the Baruch Hashem. You believe in the Baruch Hashem and spend your whole life talking about bagels. You could be sure that those Jews would die Al Kiddush Hashem. They're good Jews. They're mamish, beautiful Jews. And they have schusim, I'm sure, that are immeasurable in God's eyes. I'm not, God forbid, putting any Jews down. But they don't believe enough in themselves. Because if you believed in yourself, you'd stand in shul and you would know that you could talk to him there. And he's listening to you and he stops by you to talk to you. So the schus of amunah and the merit of the faith that we have in ourselves, that just like we say, Ata b'chatonu mikol ha'amim, Hashem has chosen us from all the nations, Ahavta yisrael, he loves us. And the reason for that's not stam. So this is what it said, because deep down, Anachnu b'charticha mikol ha'elohim, we have chosen you from all gods. Ahavnu aischa, we love you. V'ratzinu b'cha, and we desire only you. And the moment that you believe that in the heart of your heart, you love only him, and you seek only him, and all of this is just craziness. It's getting lost in a big orchard with a million adams. The moment it dawns upon you that the master of the world, the tender of his garden, the one who tends to his garden, to his orchard, is stopping by you, Befrat, especially by you, that's when you experience redemption. And when you experience redemption, then you feel Shabbos the whole week. So Kosh Baruch should help us that at least we should start to work on this Shabbos. At least Shabbos is the day of Geula, Karval Navshi Geula, that Shabbos should be different than the other days. At least Shabbos. La'ayir libi la'havasecha, to ask Kosh Baruch to try to strengthen our belief in ourselves on Shabbos, and to be careful what we talk about on Shabbos. And to be careful not just not to do what's forbidden, but to try to make Shabbos special. To the degree that you strengthen that, you'll feel the whole week a little bit of redemption. No, Hashem has promised us the same way that Kimet Seischem, Eretz Yisrael, Meren and the Flores, the same way, even greater than the wonders that we saw that we left Egypt, we're going to see wonders with the coming of Mashiach, we should be Zeichem, Mr. Hashem. Each one, Befrat, and the Jewish people, Bechlal, to be worthy of the Geula, Hashleim, V'amitis, Mirhem, Yamein, Amen, V'amein.